The Old Testament reading for the second midweek Advent service is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, and with the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Today our texts are selected verses of Psalms chapter 2, 16, 22, 40, 72, and 110. The sermon title is The Four Seers, David. Last week I introduced our general topic of the direct messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. We then looked at sample prophecies in the books of Moses. Today we look at sample prophecies in the Psalms, which were written or edited by King David. Next week on Wednesday evening, we will look at prophecies by Isaiah, and the following week by Zechariah, the minor prophet. Moses, David, Isaiah, and Zechariah are what I'm calling the four seers because they foresaw the Christ, that is Jesus. If you wish, you may follow our psalm text this evening in our hymnal, which has the psalms in the front of the book. You may read them to yourselves, not out loud, because that's too hard to coordinate. All this evening's texts are Psalms of David, except for Psalm 72, which was authored by his son, King Solomon. The Psalms are really one of the greatest books in the Old Testament. Although we Lutherans use whole psalms in our matins, vespers, and evening prayer services, and we use verses from the Psalms in our introits and graduals, we rarely preach, teach, or comment on them. As an Augustinian friar, Martin Luther used the Psalms extensively. The Psalms were part of the friars' and monks' daily spiritual diet. So Luther already knew them well before he started lecturing on them in the academic years 1513 to 14 and 1514 to 15 at Wittenberg University. Now let's listen to what Luther says briefly about the Psalms in his preface to the Psalter of 1545 near the end of his career. And I quote, Luther says, "Many of the Holy Fathers prized and praised the Psalter above all the other books of Scripture. To be sure, the work itself gives praise enough to its author, that is, the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, we must give evidence of our own praise and thanks for this work. The Psalter ought to be a precious and beloved book, if for no other reason than this. It promises Christ's death and resurrection so clearly, and it pictures his kingdom and the condition and nature of all Christendom, that it might well be called a little Bible. In a word, if you would see the Holy Christian Church painted in living color and shape, comprehended in one little picture, then take up the Psalter. There you have a fine, bright, pure mirror that will show you what Christendom is." End of quote from Luther. Hear now Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and listen for its prophecies of the Messiah. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.' I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So far, that text, Psalm 2. Who is the Lord's anointed? In dynastic terms, the anointed is a crown prince. In Old Testament terms, he is the Messiah to come. The Jewish word Messiah means the anointed one. So here, already in the second psalm, we are introduced to the Messiah. Who is the king whom God Almighty would set up on Zion, the holy hill? Well, that's Jesus, of course, whose word and the report of whose acts proceeded to go out into all the world, starting from the city of Jerusalem. Zion is also the spiritual Jerusalem, which is the communion of all saints, both in heaven and earth, with Jesus as their king. Who is the Son here that is begotten by God? Well, Jesus, of course, the only begotten Son of God, as we Christians confess in our creeds. People from all the nations, even to the ends of the earth, have become his heritage, his legacy, and his possession. We now turn to Psalm 16, verses 8 to 10. It states, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, Sheol was understood to be the place of the dead. Therefore, this prophecy foresees someone who would enter death, but not stay there. It foresees God's Holy One, whose body would die, but not be corrupted or decay. Verse 10 was quoted by Peter on Pentecost, arguing that it foresaw the resurrection of Jesus, Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Verse 10 was also quoted by Paul in his sermon to the Jewish synagogue at Pisidian Antioch in Galatia. Paul noted in that sermon that King David's bones were still buried in Jerusalem with his ancestors, so it couldn't be talking about him. But Jesus was raised from the dead, and his body did not see decay. Acts 13, verse 35. Now let us hear portions of Psalm 22, verses 1, 6 to 8, and 12 to 18. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. They say, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. There is no more perfect picture of the crucifixion of Jesus in the Old Testament than this one. It begins in verse 1 with the same words that Jesus cried out from the cross. Then it talks about the mocking he endured from the crowds and the high priests, Matthew 27:43. It quotes their exact words of derision in advance by 1,000 years. It depicts his enemies as if they are angry bulls and vicious dogs circling their prey. And it finishes with the soldiers dividing his clothes by lots. How could the pious scripture-reading Jew of Jesus' day not see the crucifixion of Jesus in Psalm 22? The gospel writers and apostles quoted this psalm frequently in parts of it as a direct prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus. Now let us hear a small portion of Psalm 40, verses 7 to 10. Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, 'I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.' I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." This passage foresaw Jesus preaching in the synagogues of Galilee, as recorded by Luke in chapter 4, 14 to 22. And this includes the report that Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, when he told the congregation that it was fulfilled that day in their presence and in their hearing. Next, we hear from Psalm 72, verses 8 to 11, 15, and 17. May the king have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarsus and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed." Do you know what this prophesies? The visit of the Magi in Matthew 2, 1 to 12. You know what they brought? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One of the major sources of frankincense was the eastern horn of Africa, as well as the southern parts of Arabia, which were known respectively as Sheba and Saba, which are mentioned here. A major source of myrrh was the same eastern horn of Africa. Gold was found historically in many regions, including Egypt, Nubia, eastern Africa, and southwestern Arabia. Finally, we hear the words of Psalm 110, verses 1 to 2 and 4. "The Lord says to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This foresees the Messiah, and it was quoted by Jesus himself in Luke 20, 41 to 44. Jesus then, after quoting this verse, posed a riddle to the high priest, saying, David here calls him Lord. How can he then be his son? Luke 20, 44. Do the writer to the Hebrews also elaborates on the matter of the Messiah, also being not just a king, but also a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, which means that he serves forever as God's high priest. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 to chapter 10, verse 22. This is just a sampling of the messianic prophecies found in the Psalms. And there are many more just waiting for you to discover them anew. The next time you read the Psalms, think of how does that point to Jesus. May you look forward to the coming of Jesus, just as David and the psalmists did 1,000 years before his birth. In Jesus' name, amen.